And we're going to be so short on time this morning. We had, well, Steve, why don't you lead us in? We had four bills, wasn't it?
There's four bills, Mr. Chairman, that the committee informally heard in conjunction with Darrell's budget on the last meeting. Staff was directed to check with council and see if the three bills, 129, 130, and 131, could be combined. Discussion with Kathleen, she indicates that they can very easily be combined and probably appropriately should be. I have a copy of the amendment that would do that here. However, I think that what we should probably do, Mr. Chairman, is address the three bills separately, make any adjustments or changes to the three bills that you want to, then I can take it back down to council and we can combine the amendments to each bill and one final amendment to make it all one bill.
The committee understands why by combining the three bills, saves putting them and can put them under one, and if it's an economical way to do it is what I was looking at.
You may want simply, since the Attorney General was interested in testifying on Senate Bill 131 and they are not here, I just made a phone call. They said they would be coming right over. You may want to start with Senate Bill 129 and invite...
Okay, we'll start with 129 and Darrell.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have anything to add on 129 beyond what I gave you last week. I handed out our testimony last week. There are some amendments to the printed version of Senate Bill 129, which we gave you last week, which were attached to the testimony, and I went through that. And would you like for me to go through those again, just quickly, or not?
Okay. Why? Because we haven't started on that yet, and the Attorney General was here. Why don't we give him the courtesy of listening to his comments? Because I know he's going to be busy. Darrell, would that, you
That's fine.
Mind that?
That's fine.
Dave,
move to 131. Then
let's go to 131. Senate Bill 131. And Dave, I understood you had some comments you wanted to make.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, for your records, Dave Frohn, our Attorney General, representing the Department of Justice on Senate Bill 131, the purpose of which is to effect the transfer of the Liability Claims Division from the Department of Justice to the Department of General Services. I should say at the outset, first of all, Mr. Chairman, that I was not privy to the initial discussions, including, I gather, pretty much a study through the biennium, the report of a group of consultants through the Clifton Company or Clifton Associates, which studied the state's whole liability and tort claim insurance business. And that's what it is. I'm sure members of the subcommittee know that. But at any one time, there are hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars of claims against the state of Oregon, which the Department of Justice and Department of General Services mutually are in charge of protecting the state against. studies were done through the biennium, which Mr. Rawls or others would have to speak to. It was a recommendation of those studies that Liability Claims Division be transferred to the General Services Administration. I'll tell you candidly, since you're entitled to know it, that the initial recommendation of the staff of the Justice Department was opposed to that transfer on the basis of certain questions that they raised about whether or not the department's position, the Department of Justice now, would be compromised in the effective settlement or litigation of lawsuits. I took those concerns to, and I should further say that my immediate predecessor, Attorney General James Brown, apparently had determined that it was appropriate to make the transfer. I reevaluated that determination immediately upon coming into office and raised a further set of concerns and considerations with the governor's office and with the executive department about the proposed transfer. It was my conclusion, after we examined that issue at some length and through a series of meetings with Mr. Rawls, with Lee Johnson, with the executive department, that we would not oppose the transfer, that if at least certain assurances were obtained by the department that the transfer would not compromise our ability to effectively defend the interests of the state in court and in those matters which are closely associated with litigation. We determined further that the way to get those assurances was not to write them ironclad into a statute, which would unduly complicate the Oregon laws, but rather to sign an interdepartmental agreement, Director of General Services, the Attorney General, Governor. I'm pleased to tell you that that operating agreement is very near closure. There remain just several items which in the whole scheme of things are relatively minor, which have to be resolved. And because we are that close, I'm here to tell you that, assuming that we do reach closure in the next couple of days, we do have no formal objection to this transfer. And I say that despite the fact that that means the Department of Justice losing some turf, but we would rather see an effective, coordinated insurance situation in the state than me attempting to protect some kind of empire. So we're not going to do that, and I'm not representing to you that we're officially supportive of it, but secretly opposed to it. What I'm saying to you officially is also our position, and we will do everything to facilitate that transfer, assuming that that meets with legislative approval. In the process of going through the draft bill 131, we do have a set of proposed amendments, Mr. Foray, or Mr. Chairman. I don't know if they have been provided to you, and they may not be in final form as of this point. I regard those amendments as technical in nature only, and not raising any significant substantive issues that should deter the transfer from taking place in one way or the other.
Are these,
if I can see them, Mr. Foray, yes,
please. The same as the one that Darrell handed out?
I believe that they are. There may be further. Yes, sir. So far as I know, those are they. It may be that in the next day or so, in concluding the interdepartmental agreement in final form, we'll have additional fine-tuning amendments, but I don't see any of them as significant at this point beyond those that we have. So I guess I'm here to tell you that we've reviewed it. There were some misgivings expressed. I believe that we have ironed out the misgivings, and we prefer, naturally, to avoid any kind of bloodbath in front of this committee, but to be supportive of this transfer and to pledge our best to make it work.
Okay. Would there be any question of anybody on this committee at this time? Steve, do you have any questions?
Mr. Chair, I think in reviewing the proposed amendments that they say to permit the possibility in the program.
It'll take a couple of days to go over all of them, and by that time you'll have your other agreement worked out.
Yes, we had hoped to have it before this meeting, Mr. Chairman, okay. And just Mr. Rawls' schedule and my own made it impossible to get together for the final details.
We certainly appreciate your cooperation with us, Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And if there's no further testimony from anyone, we would excuse you so you can come back to work. Thank you, sir.
I'm not working on that this morning.
Okay. I think that clears up any of the problems we have in 131 at that point.
There's another issue, Mr. Chairman, that Darrell, are you going to address that?
Okay.
If I may, Mr. Chairman.
You're kind of just jumping around here this morning, but
that's still on 131.
Yeah.
Here are two additional amendments that we would propose to you on 131. The first three on this sheet are exactly the same as we gave you last week. But there has been a question raised with respect to a section on page 5 and on page 7 of the bill, which would authorize us to purchase reinsurance or other commercial coverage. And the question has been asked of the department, was it our intention to expand the state's insurance program with respect to local government beyond tort liability issues? In other words, were we intending to move it into the property area? And it was not our intention to move the local government coverage out of the tort area into the property area. And so we have proposed two amendments, numbered 4 and 5 on the sheet that I just gave you, which are not policy changes with respect to what our intent was. They are technical only to clarify that we would have authority to buy reinsurance or some other commercial policy for local government, specifically in the area of tort, which is the only area that the Legislative Assembly has authorized us to provide insurance coverage for local government. and it is not my intention to expand beyond that. In other words, I do not, I'm not asking for, nor would I even have an interest in, our providing any other services to local government outside this tort area. So change 4 and 5 are technical in nature only with respect to what we were proposing.
Okay. Any questions from anyone on that?
You want to adopt those amendments?
I think it would be my feeling. I think we should.
Okay, I move that we adopt the amendments to Senate Bill 131, stated as April 13, 1981, on the printed sheet, which deal with the five items.
Mm-hmm. We've reviewed the first three items before, yeah. And it's just added the other four to it, right. And we've already agreed to that. So, does the committee understand where we stand on it? Is there any objection from the committee at this point? Is there any discussion on it? If not, we will assume that by unanimous approval, we have accepted the amendments you've given to us on 131. Okay. Now we'll go back to 129. Was that it?
Yeah.
Thank you, Darrell. With interruption.
Well, Mr. Chairman, 129 is a bill intended really to correct deficiencies in our existing law. They are not intended to substantially expand our existing program coverage, but on the testimony that I gave you last week, we did list five items that we were trying to achieve, and I don't know whether you want me to go back through those or not.
That's the ones all on this amended one.
Right.
You gave us,
right.
That's right. I think we're...
You want to adopt those?
May I make a comment, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. On page 3, under section 5, section 2, the agency is proposing a new sentence there that says, any amounts approved on claims for use in rebuilding or replacing real or personal property may be transferred to other agencies as determined by the Department of General Services, subject to approval by the Executive Department. And staff has a couple of concerns about that. One is if we approve that language, I think in addition to that sentence, we should say, and the appropriate legislative review agency, to make sure that any amounts, no matter how small, would be received or put in from the legislative review body, or delete that sentence entirely based on the fact that it may be possible for General Services to accomplish similar thing or the same thing by simply not paying out of the restoration fund any claims that we feel are not justified. In other words, if we don't want to rebuild or replace or refinish or refurbish whatever, something that has been destroyed, we simply won't pay the claim. And in time, that should eventually bring the premium then for the restoration fund coverage down. And permit them the legislature to appropriate dollars for whatever they
are. Are you talking, but is this amendment in here? All agencies shall arrange final payment of all claims to the Department of District. Oh, right here. Any amounts received by the.
Yeah, that's this sentence here.
Well, here he has added the legislative administration and the state administrator as appropriate.
My apologies, Mr. Chairman. You're absolutely right.
That's in there, I think, in line 22.
Our intention, Mr. Chairman, was that the executive branch would approve executive branch transfers, and the legislative branch would approve legislative branch transfers, so that each branch of government had control over its own destiny.
Okay.
I think what...
Well, how would you
I'm looking to see if Representative Riebel has that sheet.
I'm not sure.
Unless I have eaten that, I don't have it. And I'm not sure that I need it. But I object if people looking at things that I don't have. And Mr. Chairman,
Legislative Administration Committee. State Court Administration.
There's a missing.
See, that's just
page
for the Capitol
two, line 27, is that what they're mumbling
page
about?
Page 3, there? Line 29, 27 to 29.
On line 29, this says the Legislative Administration Committee. Well, now that's just for the state capitol building.
Right.
Or the state court administrator. That would just be for the court building.
Right.
How would you put in there, would you want to put in there then at that point? And the Ways and Means or Emergency Board, whichever is appropriate?
Well, Mr. Chairman, we're talking about items as small as, you know, $500-$600, and obviously it could be items much larger, $50,000 or I suppose $500,000. Steve made two recommendations, or he posed two questions. One, that we not allow people to transfer at all. I think that would be a real mistake. If we have a barn blowdown due to wind damage, the agency may well say, now we have a long-range capital investment plan, and down road we wouldn't want that barn there anyway, so why don't we take that money and not put it back in that barn, but put it in a barn in a different location, or expand an existing barn at some other location. So I think it's good business that the agencies be allowed to move it. I think it'd be a real mistake to do away with that authority. The other alternative of having us come to the emergency board each time we have one of these claims, I think would be a mistake, but I'll defer to the committee's judgment. Talking about small items and potentially large items, if your concern is that we would do something of $1 million or $2 million magnitude, you could put something in there to that effect. Anything over a dollar limit, we'd come into the emergency board. But I think this is ministerial in nature, and I think particularly these small ones, that it would be just nickel and dime in the e-board every time we get one of these claims. Granted, we don't have that many occur, but you might get half a dozen a biennium.
Mr. Chairman, I think our concern is that let's suppose that the agency where the barn blows down decides that rebuilding the barn is not a good idea. Would the executive department under this language, and it occurs to us that they may well have, the authority to transfer it to some other agency entirely? And the concern there is that that's sort of a backdoor way of financing then some capital improvement or capital construction project in a different agency other than the one who's been paying the premiums for the restoration fund. Perhaps a better way is to simply just not pay the claim at all. If the barn blows down, we decide it's not worth rebuilding the barn, or the purpose that the barn was built for originally is now gone. We not pay the claim on that particular barn, and just eventually that ought to reduce the payments for that agency or all agencies to the restoration fund.
What is our major problem that we need that language?
We had a situation where had some portable hospitals which were insured through restoration fund, I believe, by the Board of Health. They were also owned by Emergency Services Division, and the monies were used, when those were lost, the monies were used to do a remodeling project here in the Capitol for emergency services. The auditors did not like that. That's the one that comes to mind, the most immediate. There is language in the current statutes that requires any reconstruction over $50,000 to be approved by the emergency board or legislative review agency. So there is existing language for legislative review.
I would not really object, though. If you want to require each one of these to come into the emergency board, we could live with that. I was confusing the issues in my own mind. I was thinking more about the internal transfers within an agency. But Steve is correct. This deals with between agencies. I think we'd like to have the authority statutorily to do it, and if the legislature wants some review process, that would be acceptable to us.
You got that? I would worry more about one of them on a larger scale, but supposing the Department of Education building at OCE burned down and they decided that they wanted an auditorium instead. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, about the way some of those people think. I would like to have some review of whether we're going to put up an, you know, because that could change the direction. Mm-hmm. They happen to have an auditorium, but it could change the direction of the whole school program by saying, well, now we have a music building, now we're going to go for music instead of education. Mm-hmm. And that happens quite often, not with fire, but mm-hmm. with other things, without real approval. I worry a little bit about that.
Would it be possible to establish some type of a floor, say anything above $5,000 comes into the committee, anything below
higher than that, you know.
If you could stay away from the penny ante one, so we wouldn't be bugging
anything
you.
Anything over $100,000 wouldn't be more than $50,000.
Well, $50,000, they're only going to come to you anyway.
Yeah. You see anything above $50,000?
Leave it the way it is. Let's leave it at $50,000.
That's fine, yeah, as long as it's the 50's in there.
I think that's a good number. We've had it there.
Okay.
And there, that's, you know.
Then you can make that amendment.
Well, we shouldn't need to adjust their language if you're satisfied with the $50,000 review.
Is the committee satisfied with the $50,000 review? I think
as long as that's still in there, I'd like to make sure that's in there. It's all right. You can have.
Yeah, we'll check.
He can check with counsel.
Okay. Then we'll do that. Then there's no objections from the committee. We'll just do that.
They want the professor to pay.
Okay. What else we got to do on that one?
I believe that was our only main concern, Mr. Chairman, on that particular bill. The other amendments seem to be appropriate.
Did we ever adopt those amendments?
No.
Okay.
I move that we adopt the amendments as in the mock-up bill dated no date on it. Anyway, as presented by the agency, which has the amendments included, presented to us. If you want a date on that, you can date it April 13th.
Okay. Then, if there's been no objection, then from the member of the committee, we'll accept that. And that puts 129 in position, doesn't it?
That's right.
Okay. That's what we will do. That's these amendments here. Okay. What else you got?
Okay. The next one then would be Senate Bill 130.
130 is it. Okay.
And that's to allow you to insure these.
Right. That will allow us to insure software and records for data processing purposes.
And this has already been to a substantive committee and it's come here. And
came from, I think, Government Activities, do pass recommendation.
Well, I would recommend that we incorporate this bill into 129.
I hope everybody's understanding. We're putting them all into one bill. And what will be the final number?
131.
131 is the number we'll use. Okay. And with that acceptance, that would put then all three of them are in order when they're done.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, did Mr. Forey, did he check with legislative counsel? Was that agreeable and then no problem as far as
germaneness
or anything?
Mr. Chairman, in fact, Kathleen indicated that was a very appropriate move to make, and that the reason that she originally that council had originally suggested that they separate these issues into three separate bills was for purposes of the legislature to be able to look at them and make decisions, and in that way you wouldn't hold up one or stymie one in the process as a result of the
Okay. Let's see what we got now. Okay.
137, Mr. Chairman, would be the next one.
Now, we haven't looked at this one, have we?
No, sir. Well, we reviewed it briefly, Mr. Chairman, and the one point that staff made was that you may want to avoid combining the State Fair construction account with the General Services account. And at your direction, I'll have staff draft language to accomplish that and return with an adopt with the amendments tomorrow for your approval.
I think that's what we discussed.
Great way to do it. Let's do that then.
Okay.
Anyone else?
Depending upon how much time you want to spend.
What time do these people have to go?
11 o'clock.
You know what? We're good until 10:30, so we got another 20 minutes. 15-20 minutes.
Well, maybe we can work session.
If we could do that, then I'd kind of bring it up on time. Is there a look at these?
Yes. Do you have copies with you here?
Yeah.
Chairman, the first handout, the Department of General Services Department summary, I'm attempting to display for the committee the 1979-81 estimated expenditures of the department, the governor's printed recommendations. The next column is the governor's revisions. These are revisions that the governor and the executive department, Department of General Services suggested be made. And the legislative fiscal office adjustments, these include the governor's revisions, the final legislative fiscal office recommendation, and the percent of the adjustment from the governor's printed budget. A column that I've not included, Mr. Chairman, that I'd be happy to give you is the percentages of the legislative fiscal office recommendation as compared to the 1979-81 estimate. For personal services, the legislative fiscal office recommendation is an increase of 10.9% over the 79-81 biennium. Services and supplies is a 15.5% increase. Capital outlay is a 115.8% increase.
That doesn't sound bad when we get rid of that full committee.
There's some good justification for that, Mr. Chairman, and we can discuss that here in just a moment. The total operating portion of the budget shows a 17.8% increase. Now you'll notice that that's a 6.2% reduction from the governor's printed budget. In the non-limited area is a 33.6% increase over the 79-81. The capital improvement area is a 64.3% reduction from the 79-81 budget. For a total budget increase of 24.2%. That's after we've reduced the budget by 7%. And part of the reason for that, Mr. Chairman, is as we go through each of the divisions, part of the reason for that is transfer in of the claims management section from the Department of Justice. And that will show up in the risk management program on page 4. Under administrative services, Mr. Chairman, the operating portion of the budget is recommended to be reduced by 8.8%. If you'll turn to the very last, well, in fact, I think it's a loose sheet.
Loose there.
Right.
Okay.
We'll talk about some of the detail reductions as we go through. The S&S was recommended to be reduced for travel and the other S&S areas by a total of $63,706. Now, this amount includes the general services service charges that we've reduced from all state agencies, plus some additional reductions.